Well, good morning, good morning. This is Pen of Talk with host Diana Prince. This is once again the most ungodly hour. And what happens to me when I go to bed early, this always happens. So it's after 3:30 in the morning, my goodness, not even 4 o'clock in the morning. Usually I kind of consider like 3 o'clock still at night, because I know people be out partying any night of the week, and you know, or people can't sleep or whatever. So to me, 5 a.m. it's the morning time, so I'm kind of like in the middle hour even for myself here. But I promised myself not too long ago that whenever I wake up and I can't go back to sleep, too many things on my mind, that I'm gonna go ahead and just go with it each and every time. I'm not gonna fight it. I'm not just gonna lay there, which, you know, meditation is good, and I do some of my best planning, the majority of my planning, when there's nothing going on inside my head. No, when there's nothing going on around me, you know, no devices, no distractions, and I can just sit there and really focus and picture everything in my mind, and then I can get up and implement those things. So no matter what time of day, what the situation is, if I'm able to work online or do something business wise, I'm gonna do it if I have the time and I can't sleep. So here we are. I'm getting back into the habit, as most of you who have followed my podcast and are following it now know, I'm getting back into the habit of starting my day. It's not even the day yet for me, with doing my podcast. I used to do this all the time, and if I don't do it at the very top of my day, before my official quote-unquote work day begins, then the chances are I will not get to it. It's all about motivation and focus. I can redirect my focus pretty fast if I have to, and often it just happens, and again, I just go with it and I go full steam ahead. So when I'm motivated, I have to do it, because there's so many other things, not only that I have to get done, that I'm actually motivated to do. You know, my priority sometimes can be based upon motivation, because a priority is a priority. If it wasn't important, it wouldn't be a priority. It would just be on the list of other things. So obviously they're important, but sometimes I go with what motivates me and I'm excited to do. And I try to only involve myself in things that I'm motivated and excited to do, and work with people that I feel the same way about, the same emotions that I look forward to working with, that I'm excited to work with. So anyways, welcome to my show. Again, this podcast, I don't have the sound effects, and I'm gonna try to work that out, because I definitely enjoyed having them on my previous podcast app, and I need a break from talking sometimes. You know, I can go so long. I mean, virtually, I wouldn't say an entire day, but in a half of a day, without using my vocal cords. But within that time, and once I do, I'm still communicating. I communicate so much by typing, obviously. So I'm not always, you know, just like in school, when I'm in school, it's online. So even if my instructors are speaking to me, I'm never speaking back. So using my vocal cords, sometimes I feel like I need a little sound effect break to kind of help me out. You know, I'm waiting for a friend and someone that I know on Facebook, to get online so I can test out a few things on this app. And that would probably be one of them, if I can remember to do it, to open up on my YouTube window, a window for YouTube, and start incorporating a few sound effects if I can remember to do it. Anyways, someone on Facebook that I consider a Facebook friend, and who I don't know what they do professionally, but I know that they've been in photography as a photographer for a very long time, for several years. So we seem to connect when I post stuff. And we also have several other things in common. And I posted asking about a topic that he would like me to cover. I asked that of a few photographers that I know, that I consider friends, in a post on Facebook. And he's one that made a comment and said to go over contracts. Now, I really was thinking that I would ask him. That's the reason why I really want to start incorporating more interviews. My podcast and my column, Pinup Talk by Diana Prince and Pinup Talk with host Diana Prince, definitely has always had the element of interviews involved. I love interviewing people. I think that readers and other models, other photographers, and magazine owners love interviews. I think that that's something across the board that we all enjoy. We want to know other things or some things about that person. And for those of us who are a real fan of somebody, we like to know some of the things that we don't get to read about that they post, you know. And just, it's interesting, you know, to interview someone. I think that I'm asking them the questions that we all want to know, so to speak, as you can tell by the sound when my voice changed. But he asked me a question, and I really would like to know more from him on what angle he wanted me to go with this topic. But I'm going to go ahead and go on with the topic right now. I'll skip and say that later. Okay, so the topic he wanted me to cover was contracts and agreements. I think that's what he said. I know with contracts. So, Eric, this is for you. I had contracts and agreements. Written agreements are so important in business. One thing I want to start off by saying, this kind of just is relevant to, you know, something that I was thinking about this morning, an issue that I'm going through with a photographer of mine. You know, I think that honestly, before we even get into why contracts are important, people tend to get comfortable after they've worked with somebody numerous times. I think that that's human nature. If we continue to come back together, to work together, there's obviously so many positive reasons, if not one main huge positive reason why. So the whole premise of that is, you know, you're comfortable, you enjoy working with that person, and you enjoy the quality, the work in which you both produce together. I can't really think of that many people that constantly, professionals come together with someone and work together often, or, you know, numerous times over the course of years, and they aren't looking forward to it. They aren't getting anything, quote unquote, out of it. So, you know, the whole idea of continuing to come around someone is those emotions. And with those emotions, sometimes you develop friendships in business. Sometimes you develop, you know, the kind of friendships that are not friendships as far as like, I'm going to tell this person everything about my life. I can depend on them for everything that I'll ever need when I need something, type of friend. But you've established something further than just a business relationship, just working together once, not looking forward to working with this person, negative emotions, and just kind of like short and to the point down to business. You've built something more. And what comes with that is emotions. People get comfortable, just like Tyrese. Not one of my favorite singer, great actor, but one of my favorite quotes, excuse me, and videos of all times was one of his videos on YouTube where he was talking to people about business and about commitments and about people. And his exact words was contentment. No, there we go. Contentment. Is that it? Contentment breeds comfortability. And basically what that means is when you get comfortable with somebody, you know, it's usually a result of being happy. You're happy with them. You're happy with the situation. So you get comfortable. Now, for some people, as long as there's still business involved, they are going to still keep business just as that business. There may be extras that they give. There may be, you know, connections that they give you. All of these things that they go above and beyond. But the initial reason and the way that they are in business will not change because of friendship. And then there's other people where, okay, and it was familiarity breeds contentment. There you go. I knew I was saying it wrong. Okay, it's 3:45 in the morning, you guys. There you go. Familiar. So you get familiar with somebody, really familiar, and you get comfortable with them. And so when you're familiar and you're comfortable, contentment. You know, you get content, and a lot of people, this is a human nature type of thing. This is a reaction that a lot of human, no matter who you are, this lots of people from all walks of life can relate. You get comfortable, you get emotional, you get sloppy, per se, if you will, in your work with that person. Oh, it doesn't matter if I'm a little bit late, or if it doesn't matter that I'm late, you know, because they've gotten so comfortable, they just, oh, it's okay. You know, they'll understand. I've always been late. There, it does not mean that the other person is comfortable to that extent and is okay. And they can be just as comfortable and familiar with you. And that can be their number one pet peeve, is somebody being late. And it cannot be okay for them. And it's still never going to be seen as something positive. So I totally agree with that. And just to come kind of back into the full circle of what I was starting off to say, you know, people get so comfortable that they don't do the things that they would do with a brand new client or somebody who is, again, the first time they're working with a new model. Other models that are brand new, sometimes people want to put their best foot forward. They want to make a great impression. Maybe they're more excited about editing the images. And as an example, they get them their images right away, whereas somebody they've worked with ends up waiting because they're like, oh, she'll wait, and she knows the work is good. She knows she's going to get the images. She can wait. And then there are people who are the exact opposite of that, in the same exact situation, the same position as that photographer, that says, hey, this person I've worked with so many times, and there's several reasons, I'm going to make sure I get her edits fast. I'm going to make sure that her edits, our work, is a priority. I want her to know it. I'm going to show it. And someone new, yes, it's a priority, but this isn't someone who I really, really appreciated for a long time. I've had success with for a long time. And so, and then things like extras. Somebody brand new may get a deal. New customers get 25% off. New customers get a free photo session as long as they buy prints. Whereas a returning customer does not get that same deal. But then there are other people who think of it the opposite way. A brand new customer, who knows if they're going to return? I'm definitely going to put my best foot forward. They're going to pay me my rate, my normal rates, and I'm going to perform my service, do my job, provide a product, a service, and I'm confident that they'll be happy and it'll be high quality. And I'm hoping and confident that they'll return. And then you get the person, that same person, that says returning clients are the ones that are going to get the bonuses and the discounts, and you say, you know, she's booked so many shoots, I'm going to give her a free one. She's booked so many shoots, I'm going to give her half off her next one. She's booked so many shoots, I'm going to give her extra edits. I'm going to throw in an extra look because she's paying for two. I'll throw in a third one. I'll throw in five extra edits. I'll make sure she gets her images fast because, you know, this is a returning client. This is how I got them before. I want to keep them returning. They've been, you know, it's proven that they've returned. Let me go ahead and give them the bonuses. So it depends. And then in both of those situations, those examples, there are people that do not alter either way. It does not matter if you're brand new. It does not matter if they've worked with you 100 times. It does not matter if you're paying them, they're paying you, or it's been equal trade every single time you've worked together. They do not decipher, okay, I'm going to make this person's work a priority. I'm going to give this person extra and not that person. There's people who honestly just do not do that. You may get the best work, the best quality. I mean, on one end, it could be the best images that you've ever received of yourself in your life. And everything that you expected, all your expectations were met. All your goals for the shoot was a success. You ended up gaining publication or getting content for your website. Whatever your goal was, it was achieved. They were accomplished. And love working with that person till the day is long. Can't wait to see them again. And the bottom line is they may not be doing anything less or extra for you just because it's your first time or just because it's your 50th time working with them. So, you know, I think it is so important to really dig deep into finding out what is important with the people that you're working with. If you're going to work with somebody more than once, it is important to know what's important to them. It's essential. I mean, there should be no surprises. I understand habits. People have habits in business. We all do. It takes time to realize them. And then there's just straight up, this is the way that person is. They've made this clear that these things are extremely important to them. And it's like, okay, so you didn't even have to take the time to find out. You didn't have to take the time to ask them what their goals are or what their goals are for the shoot or what they're involved in or what their future goals are. You don't even have to ask them. You didn't have to ask them. They came to you and after working together more than once, they've told you what their goals are. You know what their goal is for that shoot. You know what is important to them. You know how they roll, quote unquote. You know their process and how they do things, and they in return should know yours. And it's just important because for it to only be one-sided, it feels terribly unfair. It feels like you're not a priority. And those are emotions. You know, it feels. So once you get so familiar with someone and you get so content that you start to lose sight of why you came together in the first place, which was to produce positive results, then things can fall apart. And that was exactly what Tyrese was saying. People end up worrying more about what someone else was doing, what another model was doing, what another photographer is doing. People want to bring their personal lives into business. If things are going that bad in your personal life, see, again, there's all types of people. See, I'm never one-sided. There are people who, when they're going through the worst things, that's when they have to work and create and produce. And there are other people who absolutely, positively can't and have no freaking business on God's green earth trying to work with people and produce while they're going through the things they're going through in their personal life, their personal affairs, their personal world. They have no business engaging in any sort of agreement. and working with someone when obligations and commitments are there and it doesn't become a priority. You know, you can have health problems, you can have personal issues, you can have family issues, you can be swamped with work, you can be getting your master's degree in school, you can have a million family members to take care of and 10 kids at home. If you come together with someone in business and you make a commitment, that's what matters. Because everybody has responsibilities, everybody has a life. No one wakes up, edits images, goes back to bed, wakes up, edits images, goes back to bed. Everybody has a life and other priorities. And that's my point. That's my point, is that that needs to be considered. But at the same time, there's no red carpet needed because you're busy. I'm busy. Are we going to, as my mother used to say, have a pissing contest? I mean, to see who's the busiest? I mean, that's just wasting time right there. You know, people will sit there and go, I can understand briefly, but people will sit there and go through a paragraph of why they haven't gotten something done or why they couldn't get something done on time, filled with excuses, filled with reasons. And that time could have been used fulfilling their obligation. I mean, really, think about that. It could have been used towards it. So, I mean, I'm just, you know, at a loss. I think that the level of respect is low when you've worked with someone several times and your goals, your priorities, your likes and dislikes in business, things that you've made clear, and just basically what your goals and your priorities are when working with that specific person. When those things are not taken into account, it's almost like they're ignored. And to me, that's disrespectful. If you want me to consider all of the things that you're going through, all of your other priorities that you had before our shoot, all of the priorities and commitments that you've made since our shoot, and emergencies, and all of the things that all of us, capital letters, all of us have to go through, will go through, have been through. If you want me to consider those things, consider mine. Because every single person has other things, and every single person has things they like. I can guarantee you right now, every single photographer that I have ever worked with, no matter who they are, they all have their own pet peeves in business. They all have their own likes and dislikes. They all have their own goals. They all have their reasons for doing what they're doing. For me to work with someone, because I'll put my foot in someone else's shoe, for me to work with someone more than once, over and over and over again, and to not know what's important to them, that's crazy. I may not know where they grew up, their high school sweetheart's name. I may not know that, you know, you know, whatever, their favorite color. I may not know what they have for breakfast. But I'm going to know what is most important to my photographers and anyone that I work with several times when it's business related. I'm going to know their goals. I'm going to know the things that they absolutely love and that they love about working with me. I'm going to know the things that they hate about working with anyone. I'm going to know their process and the things, once again, that are a priority for them, that are important to them. You know, this could be said with any relationship. How are you going to be involved with someone, meaning involved, working, meaning ongoing with someone, and not know what's important to them that relates to you? Capital letters, comma, that relates to you. How are you going to, I mean, are you that self-centered? Are you that oblivious? Are you, you know, to other people's feelings? I mean, who's a priority? You know, are only certain people in your life that important that you make it a priority to get to know them? I mean, really, even the most, I would think, some of the most self-centered, selfish people would still realize that it is going to be to their benefit. If nothing else, the very first thing, if that's the way they're thinking, because they're thinking for themselves, it is going to benefit them to know what is going to get a negative reaction out of somebody that they work with. You have a choice to work with someone. They have a choice to work with you. No one's making anybody come together in the examples and the circumstances and the situations that I'm referring to. Nobody's forced to do these things. You're not forced to book a shoot. You're not under obligation to agree to photograph me. I mean, you know, once you have photographed me, boom, the obligation's there. It's there. And, you know, all of the details, everything has to be communicated. Why? Because that shoot is a priority. No communication, poor communication, miscommunication, the lack of communication, it shows that something's not a priority. Just like when people don't research. I mean, I sat there and I really hate to use this as an example, but I just can't help it. I sat there with a photographer that I've worked with so many times, and he still to this day, in my opinion, has yet to even try to learn a single thing about pinup. Yet, and it shouldn't matter if his other clients are doing it or not, which obviously they're not, and he doesn't specialize in it. But I've worked with this person for years. You can hear it in my voice, the confusion. I've worked with this person for a couple of years now. We've done multiple shoots. We had a magazine cover. We've been published every single time we've done a photo shoot. That should be the end of story, but it's not. Not one, I've never spoken to, we've had some great conversations. Not one time have I spoken to this person and they knew a single thing about pinup. I mean, from years ago until now, it's like, why bother to research? You know, it's like working with a photographer several times and we're doing pinup and we're getting published in pinup magazines and they don't know who Jane Mansfield is. How do you not know who Jane Mansfield was? How do you not know? I mean, so you just know Marilyn and Betty Page, that's it? I mean, that just is, it just boggles my mind. It makes no sense to me. If I'm working with a photographer that is doing fashion, and I don't do fashion, I'm going to research fashion. I'm going to research them. If you research me, you're going to see plenty of pictures of Jane Mansfield. You're going to see a blog on Jane Mansfield. Excuse me. So back to the other photographer. It just makes no sense to me. How do you not research pinup whatsoever? Are you that completely busy where you don't have 5 minutes in 3 years? I mean, you know, I mean, let's really, really sit and think about this, you know? I mean, it shows me, no matter what's said, it shows me that it's not a priority. You don't have to specialize. I've said this to so many amateur pinups and aspiring to be professional pinups. You don't have to be a professional to think like one, to act as though you are. I mean, that's what gets you in the door. That's what gets you success, by being professional. I mean, being a quote-unquote professional, having all the credentials and the experience, of course, that comes with the title. But it has nothing to do with the way you act. That's how you get to being and given the title and being the definition of a professional, by acting that way, always, always. Not having knowledge, we all go through that. But not making an effort to gain any knowledge, that shows that something's not a priority for you. I communicate everything that I want to do with every photographer before every single shoot. It doesn't matter if I've worked with you 100 times. I'm never just going to just say, see you Saturday and we'll figure it out. Fuck no. Hell fucking no. That has never happened. That is never going to happen. My nerves would be bad. I don't roll like that. I don't see how there could be any success out of that. It's not something I'm even willing to try. Period. Because I've seen it fall apart. I've seen one person plan, the other person be completely freaking clueless. And I've seen how things end up. And that is not going to be me. I'm, if anything, always the one that's going to be the one prepared and planned and knowledgeable and ready. And if I have to compensate fully or almost fully for the other person involved, then I will. And I just won't work with them again. It doesn't make any sense to me. I'm like, I purposely showed this photographer the theme and style, the exact theme and style of what I wanted to do. I talked about it during the shoot. Before the shoot, I said, we'll use the white background. How much detail can one go into? Because I know models. I know models of all different styles and parts of the industry, and not every single one goes into grave detail about their shoots. They leave so much up to the photographer, or in my case, photographer / stylist, which I'm a stylist first, and creative director, which I don't get the title for. I'm about to start giving it to myself. They rely on me, and that's fine, because those are the services that I've made clear that I provide. Those are the services that they're acquiring me for and that they're paying me for. It's made clear. Well, with photographers, I don't expect them to know everything, to do everything. But when I'm the person that's showing you, because I've done the research, a bit of the research, and even during the shoot, I'm sitting there mentioning this iconic figure. And it's like, okay, yes, we understand that this is an iconic figure in pinup. And every young person may not know who this iconic figure in pinup is. And someone not in pinup hasn't done the research, hasn't shown interest because, and that's obviously they've shown it by not researching. You know, but when you work with somebody older and they've worked with me, let's just be specific. I mean, because this is why my mind is, it's not somebody terribly young. It's not somebody who's working with me for the first time. You know, you're not brand new to pinup photography if you've worked with a professional pinup model for almost 3 years. 5 times, 10 times, 15 times, doesn't matter how many times. If we've worked together ongoing, landed a cover, been published in several pinup magazines, you know which magazines, you've had every opportunity to study them, I've sent you detail, see, working with me means I've sent you detailed plans, I've sent you images, I've sent you examples, and then during the shoot, we talk about the magazines, we talk about the theme that I'm doing. At that point, how are you still clueless? I mean, I just don't understand it. It's just like a little thorn in my side, which, as you know, can be a big deal because it's going to keep bothering you no matter what you're doing. It's like an eyelash in your eye. Sure, you can keep on doing what you're doing, but you're constantly reminded of that. It's like at the very end of our shoot, I mentioned the person's name that I was recreating during one of my looks that day. Already, mind you, already sent a message, detailed message saying this is what I was going to do, this is the person. I'm almost positive I sent a picture. If I didn't, I definitely said who the character was and what I wanted to do. During the shoot, I mentioned this person. My photographer was clueless. Right then and there, I'm like, okay, this is who this person was. This is what this person meant to the world and to society. This is how they became a character, a public figure, and an icon. And I'm not saying this is the most important conversation. I'm not saying it even had to turn into a conversation. But they were clueless. I had detailed information that I briefly gave them right to their face. Not on an email. Maybe they were too busy. which for me, email is the best way, but not for everyone else. Not in their inbox when they've got a million of them and they were busy when they checked it. You know, not when there's other models around, other photographers around. I mean, some people, I honestly don't think they can chew bubblegum and walk. And that's an expression. And usually I laugh when I say it, but I mean it in an irritated sort of way. If I'm right in front of your face within arm's length or closer, and I'm telling you about something, anything, how is it that you're not processing that information right then and there? I mean, it's one thing that, oh, I vaguely remember the email, or which still doesn't show that it was a priority. I vaguely remember, you know, the messages that you sent. But to be right in front of me and then to ask me who someone is, who this person is, why they were important, why am I recreating them, why am I spending my money on the wardrobe to do this, why am I wanting to submit these images, why? You're asking me, someone like me, right, that considers everything I do important and takes my business very seriously. And then I answer you. Again, I didn't go into detail, like forever is what my point is. I went into detail, but not forever. And stated the basics of exactly who this person was. And like I said, why they're important, et cetera, et cetera. Right to your face. Now, I don't expect someone to sit in a chair like or a child at school and look at me like I'm a teacher at a chalkboard. You're an adult. I'm an adult. We're in the middle of a shoot or we're beginning our shoot. You're setting up lighting. I'm buckling the buckles on my shoes. I'm pulling up my thigh highs, et cetera, et cetera. But we're in the same room. We're right next to each other and we're talking about something that's important. It's important because that's what we're about to do. It's important because you asked me. It's important because this is what I've been planning. So even if it wasn't important before, and maybe it may not be important after, which would make no sense because every shoot should be important, which is why it would be made a priority. But you're asking me right to my face. And again, we've worked together before. You know I'm thorough at communicating. You know I'm into pen-up. So I'm going to be passionate about answering a question and giving and or giving information about somebody who's an icon within the pen-up industry. And again, you're not brand new to pen-up if you've worked with a professional pen-up model, gained publication many times, and continue to work with them. So you do that, I give you the information, and then at the very end of the shoot, I happen to mention that icon's name again. He looked at me with the most unattractive, craziest look, the most confused, but almost disgusted look. I'm trying to think of what I can give an example. Like if somebody says something like to you that you just can't imagine that they're asking you, like what? That kind of look on your face, like, but almost in disgust, like, why are you asking me something so absurd? That kind of question, that kind of look. Like, I'm sure that's not what he was thinking, but I'm saying that was the facial expression. It was enough to make anyone feel uncomfortable. Now, see, when people make me feel uncomfortable, I usually do something or say something kind of funny or in a kidding sort of way to kind of like cut the ice, to kind of like, you know, just like, wait a minute, I'm starting to feel uncomfortable here. Let me go ahead and say something like off of that, something that's not about me feeling uncomfortable. And, but the expression, I'll never forget it. It was like a look of disgust. It was like a cross between smelling something bad, like, ew, what is that smell? As well as like somebody asking you, don't you remember when I gave you that $1 million last year and you said you'd pay me back and you didn't? And they're like, what? That kind of look, but more of disgust. And it was like, it was an unpleasant look. It was a dehydrated face look, like that person needed some water, like they were confused, like they weren't focused on anything that I had said up until that point. And now they're focused in on me and they're like really paying attention to me finally. And they're like totally misguided, you know, that kind of look. That's the feeling that I took from it. And I've worked with this person several times. I'll work with them again, but I was very unhappy. Can I say that? I could say it in many different ways. Believe me, I could use many different words. I was extremely unhappy because it was like all the above of what I said. You know, you didn't take the time to research this person, even though I said I was recreating them. During the shoot, you asked me right in front of my face with literally no distractions that anybody over five couldn't handle and still pay attention to my response, which took maybe all of a minute and a half, 2 minutes of talking about this person, answering your question, giving you information on directly on what we're doing. This isn't information me giving about how hot the sun was in 1943 versus today. The politics that are going on in Australia, you know, as of this month, nothing that's not related. This was directly related to what we were doing right then and there. It wasn't even what we were going to do a month from now or 2 months from now, which again, if you're a professional, you're going to keep up with those things based upon individual clients, whether you have to write it down, make it, put it in your mental Rolodex, whatever you got to do, you know, professionals will do that. I mean, it's not just about showing someone that they're a priority and making them feel comfortable. It's about the fact that, you know, you have to be organized. You know, you have to be educated on what you're doing. And you have to be organized to successfully doing, to do something. There's deadlines involved in publication. There are requirements that no matter what magazine, fashion, fitness, or pinup require. And you know, people are looking, I'm looking at someone like, this isn't our first time. You know, this isn't our first square dance. I mean, to me, it shows slight disrespect in a way, because I don't care if I'm at a bar and you're a stranger. If you're my husband, who I've been married to for years now, I'd like to stress that word again, years now. If you're a friend that I've known for 20 years, if you're my cousin that is my ace boon coon since we were three. Now, depending on how I react may depend on the person. Of course. But it does not matter who you are. There is slight disrespect when I'm talking to somebody. They're looking at me and they're acting like they're paying attention and they're not. I don't see how that's respectful. I mean, whether you're consciously doing it, unconscious, whether you're somebody who cannot chew bubblegum and walk, and it's not a funny thing. You just really can't actually set up lighting and process the information that your model's giving to you at the same time. I mean, you can't drive your vehicle knowing where you're going and actually have a conversation with someone where you're paying attention to what they're saying. I mean, if you're just not one of these people, you're just not. But there's no respect involved. You don't feel a sense of respect. It's not about doing this to be disrespectful. It's about the person who's receiving it. It doesn't feel like there's much respect involved. And I don't see the professionalism. If you cannot remember something that is important, because that's exactly what we were shooting and exactly what we were doing and exactly what you asked me and exactly what I answered, there is such little respect and such little professionalism involved if 40 minutes later when the shoot is over you cannot remember what I said and you're like, who, what? Oh. I mean, you feel like a piece of crap for about 1.2 seconds. You're like, wow. So, everything I said meant nothing. You know, it's just like, oh, well, now you're tuning in to what I'm saying after 2 hours of working together. I mean, I just don't feel respect, and I don't feel like pen up is a priority when that's something you're shooting with me, even if no one else. I don't feel like I'm a priority. I don't feel like that shoot is a priority. And it's so hard to communicate with someone if the communication is not reciprocated, if it's not even anywhere near being equal. It's hard. It's difficult, especially when communication is really important to you. It's extremely hard because you're weighing out. You're constantly weighing out. Everyone does this. Photographers do it. Is it worth this? Is it worth waiting every time she's late? Is, you know, my model, is it worth, you know, her not being able to get a hold of her and her communication being really poor? Is it worth her unprofessionalism during the shoot? Is it, you know, you start to say, okay, you know, are all the things that we began this business relationship based upon, are they still there? And are they important enough to continue even with all of these things, or the one of the most biggest pet peeves, one of the most important things to the key to success is missing, or it's in horrible condition? I mean, if I'm communicating well, it's only going to work if the other person communicates well. If I have a goal for this specific shoot, it's only going to be successful and important. It's only going to be made a priority if it's both of our goals. That's my bottom, you know, that's my bottom line. That's just my entire outlook. It has to be a priority. So I have like 13 minutes left in this podcast, really to talk about what my friend on Facebook, to cover the topic that he wanted me to cover, Eric. I said all of that, 47 minutes, to say that it is really important to have all agreements in writing. Contracts are important. Release forms are important. They're essential. There are people that will never work with you. It doesn't matter if they've worked with you a million times unless you sign a release, or unless you sign a contract. But it has to go both ways. People have to take it seriously. I have had a contract for my Pinup Academy and a policy that is within a link that I give to everyone. And it's so detailed because I had to. I lived and learned and cause and effect and process of deductive reasoning. Like, okay, I need to put these things in writing. And I've done that and given the link to every single model before she books a shoot, as we're planning a shoot. And they'll show up and do things on the list that were specific guidelines of what not, capital letters, not to do. They do. Then they claim that, oh, they didn't know. Then there are people that I have sent release forms to, models after a shoot. I try to do it beforehand, or they do it during the shoot if I have copies in print. Will sit there, act like they're reading it right in front of my face. Again, it's just like somebody listening to something I say right in front of me, acting like they're listening. It's disrespectful. It doesn't matter if you don't consider it extremely disrespectful. It doesn't matter if it wasn't harmfully and purposely done. It's done. It's shown. You know, they'll purposely sit there and act like they're reading it in front of me and then sign it and then break the stipulations of that contract. So it's like this: verbal contracts matter. They're harder to approve. Everything in writing is best. Every detail in writing. I think that it's mainly to show the effects and consequences if you break your agreement. That's what release forms can mainly be about. You have an agreement, you know your agreement. You know the photographer owns the rights. But all of the other parts of your agreement, all the other details, including what will happen if you break the contract is within the contract. So in a nutshell, that's why contracts are important. And I think that people, and I'm one of them, I've become too familiar. How do you think I know about this? You know, I'm a person. I'm a human being. I go to work with someone for, and I look forward to working with them because I have gotten comfortable, because I look forward to seeing them. These are emotions. And I have built relationships, friendships with people in business that have lasted years and years and years, whether we stop working together because I moved, whether we continue to work together, even though I've moved, no matter what, I've had relationships from 20 years up to 5 solid years from now, and still friends with that person or still working with them. But the friendship part has remained, and it's the respect is there. For me, that's really important. They know me. They've gotten to know me. They purposely got to know me. And I don't understand, even if you're not asking questions, how you cannot get to know somebody after working with them over and over again. But I've been too familiar. And yes, I've built relationships that I've never regretted. You know, period. I'm not even going to go into the ones I regret. I have relationships in business that I've never regretted and built a friendship with and gotten intimate on a friendship level with people, met their family, they've met mine, et cetera, et cetera. And we're still friends to this day. So obviously I've gotten familiar. But I think that if I were to give my best advice as far as contracts and release forms, no matter how many times you've worked with someone, you should have one. You should have an agreement, even if it's within an email and you say, sign this. Now, see, that's the thing. It's funny how people get familiar and content and call somebody their friend, but then don't feel comfortable asking them to sign a release form or contract. But see, that's what other people do when they get sloppy in their work. They, I've worked with her a whole bunch of times. I won't ask her to sign a contract. I've worked with her a whole bunch of times. I won't ask her to sign a release. Magazines do this too. So you don't have it on file. You don't have it in case something goes wrong. And that's the thing. That's what I mean about the consequences. The consequences should always be in writing. And people that call themselves friends with someone often feel uncomfortable doing that. Or they're the person that got sloppy and goes, I'm not going to give her a release this time. I've worked with her 4 times already. You should still be doing it. And I think that models should consider, and I don't know any model who does this, because most of the pinup models I know that shoot with pinup photographers, and those are the two keywords, pinup models, pinup photographers, they automatically sign a release because these photographers have studios and they have release forms. I mean, that's what you do when you go to the front desk to pay. You know, you're not just showing up to meet a photographer at a park and taking a few shots. This is their business. This is their livelihood. This is their brand. This is their, what is it, ICC, IIC, whatever. This is their corporation. This is, you know, like I said, their livelihood. They don't want their business to be taken away. They don't want to waste their time and money and their equipment and their studio and the lighting and their makeup artists and all that just to have somebody say, oh, this isn't right, that's not right. Everything is done in writing before you work with a professional, especially those that have a studio. So, you know, I think that it should just be something that's automatic. And once you stop doing it, it's hard to get back on track. And I just don't personally know any of the models that I see on Facebook, you know, and especially the ones that are really unhappy because they never received images, or it took too long, or they didn't get as many images as they thought they would, or they were terribly unhappy with the images. So many things that were a factor even during the shoot should have and could have been done and agreed upon in writing. And it may make the other person follow through because they actually signed an agreement. Not everybody will, but with most people, they will because they've signed it. They will actually take it a little bit more seriously because of that. Oh, you know, I remind myself of that every single time that I end up waiting 6 months for a handful of edits, or I didn't get edits at all. Knock on wood, thank the Lord, that is not often. every time I end up getting, you know, images in low resolution or two images, or images are inconsistent, or, you know, I'm not getting, like I said, the high resolution I need for magazine publication, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. All the things that it's like, okay, you can't assume that people will just know these things, even if they've worked with you over and over again. And, you know, I kick myself sometimes for not doing that, because it's kind of like slightly feeling uncomfortable asking somebody that I've worked with over and over again to sign a contract. But again, if we've worked together and over and over again, I feel comfortable with you, and there should be no reason, and laziness should not be a factor. Forgetting to have somebody sign a contract shouldn't be a factor. I've had successful relationships in business where I've never signed one contract ever, not one time. I've had relationships in business where we signed release forms and things still went sour. I've had relationships in business where we signed release forms in the beginning and then we stopped and never had an issue. You know, I've had relationships in business where we never signed any sort of contract agreement, and I regretted it. I regretted it and never worked with that person ever again. So my whole, you know, outlook on contracts and agreements, whether it's with the business, whether it's with the magazine, whether it's with a designer, your stylist, your manager, you know, I've managed girls and they've signed. I have their signature right now on an agreement, and I can name two important rules that they broke habitually. I can name five rules that they broke habitually, certain girls, and they signed a contract saying that they would not do these things, and that they were aware of this, and that they were aware that I will terminate the contract if these things are done over and over again. And they still did them after they signed the contract. There are girls that say, yeah, I read the link and here's the release form. And then they show up to the shoot totally unprepared, when it lists every single thing that you need to do and have to be prepared. And they sign it. They say they've read it. They show up completely unaware, unorganized, and unprepared. So there you go. People removing photographers' watermarks, people altering images that photographers, people posting pictures without crediting. These are all things that are in my contracts, and what is going to happen if you break those rules and yet people still do it. So yes, I think that contracts and release forms are important to cover on your end, to cover your tracks, because you may want to implement the repercussions and consequences of them one day. And you're going to have the ability to do that if you have everything in writing. No one can say, oh, I didn't know. Oh, I was unaware. That'll never work in a court of law. Or if you want to put somebody on blast on social media and screenshot stuff that they've signed and agreed to, and then show a screenshot that they directly broke that rule, that they directly broke the agreement. So, you know, I think that they're important, but I think integrity and obligation has everything to do with a contract being important to the people that sign it. And it's just like working with someone and having similar goals, having a similar business outlook. It has to be the same. It has to be very similar. The very important things, the key elements, have to be important, or else you're going to see success be diverse. It's not going to be the same as it is with a photographer that is making it a point to know what's important to me, that's making our work a priority. Obviously, success is going to be different with someone if the things that are important to me are not important to them and we don't have similar goals. And to me, that's what contracts and that's what agreements are all about. And even though they don't always work, I've kicked myself more times than not for not having them. So we're almost at 60 minutes. Thanks for listening to my podcast. I really appreciate the support. It's 4:30 in the morning, middle of almost the end of September 2018 here in Las Vegas. It's just past mid-September. Hope everybody's having a good day, a good week. I'll see you online. And this has been Pinup Talk with host Diana Prince. Ciao.